It's the Denver City Cast on the Bet Rivers Network. Holden Kushner getting ready for the Nuggets finally to play in the NBA Finals. We're about a week away from that happening. We got a big game tonight. Got the lines up on Bet Rivers here for the Celtics and the Heat. We might find out that the Nuggets are playing the Heat in the NBA Finals by the end of tonight. And I actually got a bet there. All the media has been talking about is the Lakers during the Nuggets series, after the Nuggets series, and now their narrative has shifted to, why is everybody talking about the Lakers? Well, I'm going to talk about why everybody's talking about the Lakers, and I find it kind of interesting, to be honest with you. Goodbye, Brandon McManus. He signed elsewhere, and then the Rockies hosting the Marlins. I'll have a best bet for you there. But I want to start with something that has not really been talked about, and that would be the Kroenkes, Stan and the rest of the clan. Mixed legacy right now is what I'm thinking. So last year, Kroenke, hey, he's the owner of the Avalanche. And he took a long time, and they rebuilt, and they were the worst team in the league for a little bit, and they finally won. But no one watches them on TV. Now you've got the Nuggets. Last couple of years, they've been terrific. As a matter of fact, in the bubble, we got to the Western Conference Finals, then a couple of flameouts with the Murray injury, and he didn't play for a couple years, and now they're back in the finals. And guess what? Last year, they had the worst TV ratings of any regional sports network. I can't imagine they're that much better this year. So I'm trying to think, what do I think about the Kroenkes? Well, on one hand, I'll say this again. They gave you a Stanley Cup winner this past year and a contender. That team is going to be a contender for the next, you know, 6-7 years unless something catastrophic happens. You've also got the Nuggets here, who their window was shortened a little bit with the Murray injury. I think last year they could have been in this position, or they would have been in this position last year. Probably set them back at least a year, but as long as you have the best player in the league, you're going to end up having a championship window and a sizable one. So as long as Jokic and Murray stay healthy, you should have 4 or 5 more years of a championship window. That's just how the NBA works. At least 4 or 5 years. But again, there's a lot to do with health and some other things happening. So on one hand, love what the Kroenkes have done. On the other hand, it's very frustrating because it costs a lot of us a lot more money to just watch these teams. I have to get another streaming service just to watch the Nuggets and the Avalanche. I've got to have cable to watch the Rockies. I've got to have this. I got to have. So it really is frustrating. But as far as it goes, I think we are lucky to have Kroenke as an owner because you want your teams to win. You want to see your teams win. You want to be able to watch your teams win. But I would say this. I'm happy they're here. I'm 55% disgusted with them because they don't care about their fan bases watching their teams. And now they're going to get more people to the RSN because the team has gotten to the finals and maybe they win it all. But on the other hand, I'm 45% really happy because they've given us two amazing franchises that could have multiple championships coming for both of them, for both of them. So a very complicated, I don't even know if it's a legacy because we're in the middle of what would be a legacy for the Kroenkes. And it's frustrating, yet at the same time, you've got to understand how lucky we are to have two great teams. So let's get into the actual team now. The team that's playing, the Denver Nuggets, who I think would not have been, well, they wouldn't have, just looking at the numbers. They would not have been favored against Boston at the beginning of the playoffs. And now, it doesn't matter if Boston comes back and wins 4 straight and they beat the Heat. No matter what, the Nuggets are going to be the favorites now. Everybody saw them take out the Lakers in 4 games, LeBron, the Lakers, and they just blew through them. Beat the hell out of them. Let's face it. That wasn't even a series, man. They embarrassed LA, which was totally awesome. They totally redeemed themselves. But the Nuggets should be favored against them. They'll be a heavier favorite against the Heat, too. Truly believe that. Somewhere in the minus 200 range against the Heat. Probably in the minus 160 range against Boston. And it's funny to say that because Boston is down 3-1 still. They could get eliminated tonight. And I do have a play on tonight's game. I'm going with the Heat +8. Give me the Heat +8. This has been a series where the Heat have just dominated. The Celtics have not played complete games. They finally did in that last game. But are you telling me to throw away what I've seen in the first three games just because I saw something in the fourth game? Absolutely not. Boston might win tonight. The Heat are going to keep it within 8 points. I really believe this is going to be a close game either way. Anyways, the Nuggets should be favored against both those teams. They will be. Joker is the overwhelming favorite for finals MVP. He went from minus 177 now to minus 200. If you think that the Heat or the Celtics will beat the Nuggets, then this is a great time to get in on Jimmy Butler or Jason Tatum, NBA Finals futures, because you're getting really good prices on them. But I'm just looking at the Nuggets, and it's amazing because they continue to get better as the playoffs move on. And hopefully the long rest doesn't affect them in game one, but their offensive efficiency this playoff season with Nikola Jokic on the floor against Minnesota, 121 points per 100 possessions. The NBA average is 110, okay? These guys, 11 points over expected against Minnesota. 14 points over expected against Phoenix, 123.8 points per 100 possessions. And then you get to this Lakers series where they were as good as it gets. 124.6 points per 100 possessions. Again, the NBA average is 110. This is becoming one of the most efficient teams you're ever going to see. The Lakers were supposedly the best defense in the postseason. They actually were by the numbers. And then they ran into Joker and the Nuggets. And the Joker and the Nuggets embarrassed their defense. They just couldn't stop Joker. I mean, this Sambor three that he shot up, we've been seeing it the whole time. If you've been watching Nuggets basketball, you've seen him drain these threes. Now, not in the high-stakes situation that we saw him the other night, but on three different occasions in this series against AD. The first time he did it, AD laughed and he couldn't believe that Joker just drop-stepped, didn't even jump, just fell behind, shot the ball from behind his head, and it went in from three. Second time it happened, AD shook his head. Third time it happened, which is one of the more iconic shots I've seen in NBA playoff history. You know what I'm talking about here. He drops back, shot clock running down, hits a huge three. Nuggets needed that. They got it, and they beat him. And AD was, at that point, just completely blown away. He could not believe what he was seeing. And the rest of the country is not believing what they're seeing right now because they haven't watched this guy that much. One of the great shots in the history of the league. And of course, the talk is all about the Lakers. Now I'm talking about the Lakers again. You've got Gilbert Arenas saying Jokic doesn't have it to sell the league going forward. Can I be honest with you here? And I'm going to. I'm always honest with you. He's not wrong. Joker is Tim Duncan. Joker doesn't want the spotlight. Joker's the best player in the world, and he doesn't want to hear about it. He doesn't want to hear about the MVP. I'm sure he was happy when everybody from the Nuggets came out, gave him the MVP trophy when he's riding his horse on a chariot, believe it or not. But Arenas is right. He doesn't have it. And you know what I say about that? Too freaking bad. Too bad. Denver, enjoy this. Enjoy this run. Hopefully there's going to be another one in the future too. Screw everybody that doesn't like this team. And Joker doesn't have it. Who's the player on this team that has it? Who has the flamboyant personality? The flamboyant game. I suppose it's Jamal Murray. But he's still no Nikola Jokic. Best player in the league right here. And even when the Spurs were rolling, Tim Duncan may have been the best player in the league a couple of times for a couple of years, 1 or 2 years. But you still had Kobe. And Shaq was still in his prime when Tim Duncan was coming up. And LeBron James. I don't even know if Tim Duncan was the best player in the league 1 year. You know, MVP, yeah, best player in the league. Not so sure about that. But the local media, too. Oh, my God. And I rarely, if ever, listen to local sports talk. I did because I wanted to know what they were talking about yesterday. And what they were talking about was, well, the national media is talking about the Lakers. They're shoving it down our throats. Guys, you do realize you're doing the same thing, right? You do realize that you shove the Broncos right down the throats of every single one of your listeners every single day. So you're doing for years exactly what ESPN is doing right now. Play the hits. Play the hits. Play things you know people are going to listen to. And that's why, with the Nuggets in the NBA Finals, I listened to three segments of radio yesterday, Two were about the Broncos OTAs, and another was about, gee, why isn't anybody talking about the Nuggets, and they're all talking about the Lakers. You do it. You know what the deal is, local sports talk show hosts. That's why you talk Broncos ad nauseum, and you've trained the local sports fan to go Broncos, 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 even with the Nuggets in the NBA Finals. And there are some things around that. It hurts that a lot of the fan base doesn't watch more than a few games during the regular season at most. There are a lot of people that just started tuning in to watch the Nuggets in that game four against the Lakers. Monster TV ratings, by the way. A lot of that has to do with the Lakers, but still, I think there's some curiosity in Nikola Jokic and this Nuggets team. But ultimately, here's what it is. The Nuggets are the best team in basketball. They got four more wins. Joker is the best player in basketball, four more wins, and that's really going to launch him to another level, but he's not going to want all the attention. Gilbert Arenas is right. Jokic doesn't have it to sell the league going forward, so they're going to have to figure something else. LeBron's going away. You'll have Wembanyama. You could try and sell Joker. You should, but they're going to be too lazy to bother and figure out how to do that with Jokic. So, too bad. We'll enjoy him. Love that Kroenke's put two winners in town here. Unfortunately, a lot of you don't watch them during the regular season, but you'll have a chance to now on the biggest stage. Let's move on. OTAs for the Broncos. Oh, yeah. Well, just a couple of days ago, Brandon McManus, adios, last member of that Super Bowl team. He's gone. He signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's a nice move for him. He does go from 5280 down to sea level in Jacksonville. I think that'll be interesting to see over a 17-game season how that affects him. He's really a league-average kicker at this point. League-average, and he was sixth among NFL kickers in salary cap. So you've got a guy that was a fan favorite here, a guy that helped this organization win some big games and win a lot of games over the years. But big deal. He's a kicker. Now, we could be talking about a kicker problem, and there might not be anything more frustrating than that. Like, when you have a good team and the field goal kicker keeps missing big field goals or extra points, that could be just a gut punch. For those of you that love baseball, like, a bad bullpen will just ruin everything. A bad kicker, I mean, at least you knew that you had a league average kicker. We'll see if they still have that, but you're saving $2.5 million on a kicker. I think that's great because you're going to need other positions ultimately. I still think they need another body in the offensive line. I still don't think Javonte Williams is going to be ready for training camp. So maybe they need another veteran there. Maybe they can figure out how to spend that on an outside linebacker or somebody to rush the passer. But they can use that money elsewhere. But they better get that kicker position right, because we all know there's multiple games that come down to a field goal or even an extra point. So this is a big risk for Sean Payton. He knew what he had in Brandon McManus. He must think, hey, there's other guys that can do the same thing and maybe even better at a lesser price. The era has been over for a while here. That Super Bowl win almost a decade ago. The era has been over for a while. Unofficially over when Von Miller was traded. 100% over now with Brandon McManus out of the locker room. Last thing to get to here, Rockies hosting the Marlins today. I got to get out to a day game at Coors Field. So much fun. So much fun. We've got Braxton Garrett and Kyle Freeland, the pitching matchup. You're probably saying to yourself, who's Braxton Garrett? Young pitcher, young right-hander, has some really good stuff for the Marlins. Pitches in a great pitcher's park in Miami, but actually has pitched better on the road. So last night, the Marlins, the lowest scoring team in baseball, they hammered the Rockies 10-2. Rockies have won two of the three games so far in this season. We've got Kyle Freeland on the mound Sunday in Texas. Gave up 8 runs, 5 earned in just 2 innings. Boy, the Rangers just mauled the Rockies that series. Braxton Garrett, I'm going to get a little nerdy here. 23% strikeout rate, 4% walk rate, 45% ground ball percentage this season. So, whew. He's kind of the kind of pitcher that the Rockies would love to have. Ground ball pitcher with some strikeout upside. The lines are like this. Marlins minus 121, Rockies plus 106. Total in this game is 11. I'm going to go with the first five total under. First five innings, under six runs, minus 125. And why? Because I think Kyle Freeland bounces back with a great start. He pitches well at home. The Marlins, outside of Jorge Soler, really don't scare me against Freeland. And on the other side, I think Braxton Garrett's good enough to keep the ball on the ground long enough. Here he is, Mile High Report, Play Colorado, playcolorado.com. My man, Ian St. Clair, who is just a happy fellow. He's a happy, happy fellow, and you should be. You know, I don't talk Nuggets very much with you. When I have brought him up, you get very stressed out and angry. And you know what? This is not the scene today. You're smiling. It looks like you're still in disbelief. Hello, Ian St. Clair. How does it feel to have something happen that's never happened in your long, aged life?
Hello, Holden. And my jadedness as a Nuggets fan is over. I've said it. I said it to my wife, who is now stoked because she never has to hear they have to make it to the NBA Finals for me to get interested. She never has to hear that again. And now I can be a fan of the Nuggets. I am in disbelief. So many times they've been in this position where they made it to the Western Conference Finals three times prior against the Lakers, 85, 2009, and then in the bubble. And they lost all three times. So to exercise the demons that they did, I'm still in disbelief. First playoff sweep, first Western Conference Finals win, first playoff victory over the Lakers, first NBA Finals appearance. I'm so happy for the fans. I'm so happy for the organization. I hope the Cronkies fly in all the legends to celebrate this. So I'm talking Alex English, David Thompson, Dikembe Mutombo, Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf. I would love for Carmelo Anthony to be there. Chauncey Billups. That might be a little difficult since he coaches the Blazers. Bob Beck, Dan Issel, Kiki Vandeweghe, Fat Lever. The guy I grew up mimicking my shot after in the driveway, Walter Davis. I would love that. I'm so happy for the city, for the fans, for the organization, and for the current players and coaches.
I never thought I would hear these words come out of your mouth, but I'm glad I am. So the Cronkies, he might be the best owner in the world right now. I mean, he had the Rams, now he's got the Avs, now he's got the Nuggets, and he's got the ancillary
Mammoth.
Yeah, the ancillary sports too. So those are working out for him. And as much as we hate this guy because we can't watch the teams, you also got to give him credit. I have a really mixed feeling on Kroenke, and I'm actually a little bit more upset at him still because it's so hard to get the games, right? So I'm upset about that. Lowest TV ratings in the NBA. I don't know where it is this year. That was last year. There are a lot of people in this town. I would say the overwhelming majority of people that are watching the Nuggets right now did not have a chance to watch more than one or two regular season games. Maybe five that were nationally televised, Ian. So I think it's a mixed current legacy on Kroenke, where you can't watch these games, but he's also brought winners.
It's the same thing that happened with the Avs last year. Mm-hmm. The majority of the fans couldn't watch them in the regular season a year ago when they were obviously the best team in the league. Same thing with the Nuggets. I mean, obviously there is a chance to watch them on TNT and ESPN. And I never thought I would see the day that Charles Barkley would turn into a huge Nuggets fan, which is awesome to see as well. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that is so maddening about all of this. We're going on almost 4 years of not being able to watch the Nuggets and the Avs. Two teams that have gone on back-to-back championship runs. They need to get this figured out. And I don't think they care enough. And I don't think that they want to. Because one of the things that this is going to get into a divergence here, but this PSL thing that's being talked about with the Broncos, the licensing fee that could be coming to the new stadium, it's pricing fans out. You think back to Old Mile High Stadium in the South Stands. That was the place to be. I had season tickets there. I was a high school student. I was terrified to take my sister to games and sit in the South Stands. Those fans have now been priced out of the new Mile High. Now, if this PSL, the licensing fee, comes in place, you're going to price even more fans out of going to Broncos games and limiting Broncos country even more. And this ties into all of that, where they don't really care about the fans. And that's what's so upsetting about this, because Michael Malone, one of the first things he did, thanked the fans.
Then on the other
maybe
hand,
maybe he needs to get that message to his owner.
Yeah, but then on the other hand, he owns the team that won a cup last year. He owns the team that has now gotten to the NBA Finals for the first time ever. I mean, screw the Rams. Listen, this guy is an amazing owner, is what it is. You know, everything he seems to touch turns to gold, and I get it. You know, he inherited the Rams, and he moved them from St. Louis, and they had some success years later. Same thing here with the Avs and the Nuggets. So it's a messy legacy. I would still say 55% disgusted with him, 45% absolutely in love with him.
Yeah. If you look at what he's done, he owned the Avs in 2001. So he's won two cups as the owner of the Avalanche. And now he has the Nuggets in a place they've never been. He should get absolute credit for that. He's the owner. He's the one who's putting the investment into his franchises. But he's also one of the main reasons the fans can't watch these teams. So I think if it's an honest evaluation, I agree with you. I think it's 55-60. I'd be 60-40. Just because fans still cannot watch this team.
So you're a huge Avs fan, but where's this ranking with last year's run with the Avs right now?
I think it might be higher, because I experienced two cups with the Avalanche. The first one, I was a freshman in high school, so I wasn't necessarily appreciative of it. I mean, it was obviously the first major championship that Denver had ever won. And then the Broncos go on to win back-to-back Super Bowls. And then the Avs win again in 2001, which was unbelievable with Ray Bourque. And then last year. But I think, some longtime media members in Denver have said this, if the Nuggets go on and win this title, you're going to see a parade that mimics, if not exceeds, what the Broncos have done.
Wow.
Because that, if you think about it, the Nuggets have been around for close to 50 years. They've been around since the mid-70s. There's a lot of investment in this franchise from this region, from this city, from the various communities up and down the Front Range. And I think this run may top that Avs run of last year, because it's never happened before. I would compare this, and this is going to be a little dicey, I would compare it to the run where the Broncos go on the road and beat the Kansas City Chiefs, go on the road and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then go to Super Bowl 32 in San Diego and exercise all of the Super Bowl demons and beat the Packers. That's what the Nuggets are doing. They've exercised all those same demons that the Broncos did back in that Super Bowl 32 run. So I would say this is on par with that.
This is Kroenke's dream, because now you've got to think that some people are going to go over and try and watch Nuggets regular season games. I don't know what the boost was with the Avs, but let's face it. And to tie this into betting, this is a basketball betting state. You've said this a million times. The numbers back it up. And I think bettors kind of project, you know, the regular fan in a lot of instances. Yep. Obviously, the NFL is just on another level, and it should be, and it is everywhere, and it is with the Broncos. But I'm really fascinated to see where this goes next year, because I think they've done enough to where a substantial portion of Denver sports fans are going to want to watch them on TV, whereas they've been a little apathetic in the past.
Yeah, and I think it's the same thing with the Avs. And the one thing that to tie this all together, I'm curious to see how this motivates Sean Payton and the Broncos. I'm curious to see how this impacts the Avs, because they're seeing their cohort at Ball Arena make a run. Now, is this going to motivate Chris McDonald and Joe Sakic to make some extra moves, knowing that you have some cap space now with Gabriel Landeskog out for the year? What does this do to inspire and motivate them? We can forget about the Rockies. So it's very fascinating. It's a great time to be a Denver sports fan. And I think it's all setting up to be another great summer.
So we've got that. Did you want to chime in with the rest of the people in town upset about the Lakers coverage? I talked about it, but if you'd like to get that off your chest, I just think people need to understand, especially in this town, if a sports talk show host ever complains that the Nuggets are not getting enough attention, it was the Lakers, that person should be told, well, all you do is shove Broncos down your listeners' throats. You understand how it works. You get it. It's all about ratings, right? The Nuggets don't move the needle like LeBron and the Lakers. The Nuggets don't move the needle like Sean Payton and the Broncos. I just, and maybe it's because I've been in the seat for a long time as a talk show host, but you got to understand it. This is just how it is. And the Nuggets have to earn the right to be talked about more than the Lakers. And they got to go win a championship to do it.
So I think this is I'm going to go from the national perspective.
Okay.
Because there's connections to all of this that upsets the fans so much. There is a story in the Denver Gazette about how one of the greatest linebackers in the history of football, and Randy Gravishar, is still considered a long shot to get into the Hall of Fame. It's the same logic as to why the national media doesn't cover the Denver Nuggets, because there is still this misguided notion and belief that Denver is a cow town, that it's still what it was in the late 1800s, early 1900s, where there's dirt roads, there's no stoplights, and we don't have indoor plumbing in Denver.
I'm going to be honest with you, Ian, out here at Castle Pines, we do have a lot of dirt roads. There is indoor plumbing, but there's a lot of dirt roads still.
Yeah, but that's the notion that people have in the national media when it comes to Denver. It's why there is not a member of the Orange Crush defense in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yes.
That is unfreaking believable. One of the greatest defenses in the history of professional football does not have a member in the Hall of Fame. And the guy who was the leader of that defense is still considered a long shot. If he had played in Pittsburgh, Philly, New York, DC, Dallas, Kansas City, even Minnesota, he would be in the Hall of Fame. And it's the same logic that pisses fans off when it comes to how the national media perceives the Denver Nuggets. They're not compelling. They're not interesting. They don't have drama. They don't have all the BS of LeBron and AD and the Lakers and Jeannie Buss. They don't have Kevin Durant. They don't have COVID Kyrie down in Dallas. They don't have all the drama and the BS, but they don't realize that's what makes this team so compelling. They're unified in its mission. They're unified. They come together, and it's led them to this point. That seems pretty compelling to me.
Yeah.
It's that whole mindset of they want to, I think from a journalist standpoint, who's been in this industry forever, national journalists are lazy. They want to be spoon-fed the compelling stories. They want to be spoon-fed the easy clicks and the easy writes and the easy headlines. They don't want to work. They don't want to put in the work to find the compelling stories. They want it spoon-fed to them. So I think all that ties into why so many fans are upset. And then, of course, the MVP drama with a guy who should not have been the MVP and the guy who clearly is.
Yeah. So we went down a rabbit hole there. I do want to talk some Brandon McManus with you. I mean, listen, it's been almost a decade since the Super Bowl. They saved some money. It's not worth getting upset over. I hear a lot of, they're so upset. I mean, listen, that's it. Peyton's coming in, cut ties. The guy's is an average kicker now.
If that.
I'll call him an average kicker. I think he's an average kicker, but at this point.
I don't like his attitude.
You don't like his attitude?
The last couple of years, he's been about him. He's been a me guy. Like,
no, I mean, getting upset. I don't blame him.
Yeah, but you get upset because Vic Fangio doesn't let you kick a 70-yard field goal. I mean, you can't kick 30-yard field goals consistently. Why would he let you go well beyond your leg? And that's something else. He thinks he has a bigger leg than he does. Like, he can't kick 60-yard field goals. Like, it's just not his thing. And then people getting, we've had this discussion in Mile High Report Slack about how guys are like, we don't want Brett Maher or Brett Maher or whoever the guy was for the Cowboys. Well, if you look at the last 2 years, he's been a better kicker than Brandon McManus, but they're focusing on what happened in the playoffs. So I don't know. Good luck in Jacksonville. Good luck in Duval. They can get somebody off the street who can be more consistent.
He's got a better chance of winning a Super Bowl out there, I'll tell you that much.
He might. He's been in a worse division.
Trevor Lawrence, they got a real quarterback. It's amazing. You know, they got some weapons for him. They've got some young defensive linemen, too. They've had so many good picks. Wow, draft picks. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Lastly, before I let you go, how are you feeling about the Broncos right now in the offseason? Like, is there a little bit of optimism this year?
I think I'm in the same mode that my podcast cohort, Adam Alnati, we do the Broncos Odds and End Zones podcast. Yep. I think I'm in the same mode that he is. Prove it. Like, I have no doubt that Sean Payton is going to turn this around. I mean, he did it in New Orleans. I've said this to you before. He did it in 2006 with the Saints, and I think the Saints were in a worse position than the Broncos were. And now. So, but now it's just in the prove it mode. I think that's the thing with a lot of fans, because they're intrigued by Sean Payton. They know the defense is going to be there. They've done what they needed on the offensive line. What's going to happen with Russell Wilson? And until people see it, that's going to be that's going to be the holdup.
Okay, my friend. Plug everything you're doing one more time, then we can get you out of here, and I'm going to catch you tomorrow. We can go get a cup of coffee or something. So what do you got?
At playcolorado.com, we should be getting the numbers any day now for April. I'm going to be curious to see what the NBA betting looks like, because as we've said multiple times on this show, this is a basketball betting state. So I'm going to be curious to see what the numbers actually look like. We have a couple of stories coming up at playcolorado.com. The new Chemenix Hotel down in Cripple Creek is set to open around Christmas. And then we'll have an interview on the retirement of the Division of Gaming Director Dan Hartman and what is to come in the future of gaming in that position.
Thank you, my friend. I want to thank Melissa and Adam and Terry behind the scenes for making this podcast possible. Again, we'll take the Rockies and the Marlins under first five, under six, like the Heat plus +8 tonight. And then we'll just wait on what's going on with the Nuggets. And hopefully that long rest will not affect them. But hopefully the Heat win this game so both teams have a lot of rest. That'd be great, too. For Ian St. Clair, I'm Holden Kushner. Thanks so much for hopping on, Ian. And thanks so much for checking out the Denver CityCast and the Bet Rivers Network.
Thanks for listening to the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network.